are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful music here on your favorite Christian radio station, Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. We're getting into conversation now with Pastor Moses Chitimbiti to speak about raising children with a biblical worldview. Now, in a world where values are constantly shifting, raising children with a strong biblical foundation can feel like an uphill battle, right? From school to social media, kids are exposed to a variety of perspectives, some uplifting, others maybe kind of confusing. So how can parents then instill biblical values in a way that's both meaningful and also practical for this world that we're living in? Let's explore how exactly to nurture faith in the next generation. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Margareta.
Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. I hope you've had a good week.
Yes, my week has been well. Of course, we cannot avoid the challenges that comes along with the daily activities that we engage ourselves in, but ultimately, we've been through it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's get straight into our conversation this morning, Pastor. What are some practical ways that parents can introduce biblical teachings into everyday life for the benefit of their children?
Thank you so much for that good question. Firstly, I would like to indicate that parenting is not a one-way. It's not one-way, okay, because you understand that parents face similar battles, but the approach how to deal with those particular battles is really depending on a particular family setup, you know, parental background, religious background, as well as educational background. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is for parents to be able to communicate their family values to their children from the onset.
Okay.
So you need to tell your children, what your family believes in, stands for, and views as acceptable norms in that particular locality or society where you are. So what are some of the practical ways parents can be able to introduce biblical teachings into everyday life?
Yeah.
You see, as parents, we need to be very practical in the way we can be able to instill some biblical values to our children. How can we do that? We need to, as families, we need to engage ourselves in family worship. Okay, we engage our children in family worship together. I've seen some parents who just pray on their own when they go to bed to sleep. They just pray on their own and then they sleep without involving their children in their family worship. Mm-hmm. But what the practical ways that we can engage our children in is by involving our kids as we prepare to go to bed. We invite our children, we gather our kids together in one place, we read the scripture, and then we pray together as a family. Even when we wake up very early in the morning, before parents can actually go out for work, we need to gather as a family, pray together, and then as we begin the day, we'll begin a day knowing that we have seen each other and we have talked to God as a family. And then by doing that on a daily basis, children, as they grow up, they will be able to see and learn to say, this is the way life is supposed to be as a Christian. And so as they grow, they will be able to understand to say, in order for us to live a Christian life, we need to start a day with a prayer as a family and also end the day with a prayer. Even before we begin to take our meals, we need to gather as a family on the dining table and pray to thank the Lord for the meals that God has given us. And then we proceed with eating those meals. Sometimes we even can delegate as a father, as a mother, you ask one of your children to pray for the meal. Mm. Pray for the family before we go to bed or as we wake up in the morning. It is not just about parents praying on a daily basis, but we need to start engaging the children while they are still young to get involved in the family prayers and also worship.
I like that a lot, because I think sometimes that becomes the challenge, that it always falls on dad's shoulders or on mom's shoulders. It's always the parents, to the point where it could turn into a burden for the parents, and it could also just become monotonous and boring for the children, and it's not something that's sustainable. And it just becomes a part of a routine, like, okay, I know every night we have to do this. I know before meals we have to do this. But there's not that engagement, that the mind and the heart are not engaged in actually connecting with God the Father. So I think it's so important to involve the children as well, and to let them also take part in the program. I love that.
Sure.
So how can parents help their children discern between worldly influences and biblical truth? And especially in these days, I feel like the line seems to be getting thinner and thinner and more blurry to be able to tell what is the truth, what is the lie. They are very worldly influences who claim to be Christians and who claim to be, you know, when they go up there winning awards, that thank God, my father. And when you look at the person's lifestyle, like, really? You sure God is your father? So sometimes it can get confusing. How can we help children? In fact, sometimes I even wonder ourselves as adults to be able to tell the difference between worldly influence and biblical truth.
Yeah, thank you so much. This question is interlinked with the previous. You see, how can we help our children to discern between worldly influence and biblical truth? Mm. It goes back to family worship. Once you begin as a family, once you begin to practice family worship, you know, you give scripture to your children to read, memory verses to recite every evening, maybe one verse each one before they sleep, you know, there will be that kind of, desire to know more about the Word of God. You see, one of the good examples that I can cite from scripture, maybe let's begin from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, a very well-known and common text where the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." So if you want your child to grow in the principles of God, there is only one way, and that way is to engage them to read and understand the Bible so that they can know and experience the love of God in their own lives, okay? And then when they know who God is in their own lives, they will be able to distinguish which is truth and which one is a worldly influence. So basically, it all depends on the parents. How do you want your child to grow? Because if parents don't train up their children, then the world will take up the responsibility of the parent to train up their child. Remember that these children, they live in a society, in a community where they've got friends. Okay? And so if you have not taught your children how to live and how they are supposed to behave, their friends in the society, in the locality where they are, they will be able to instill the values that they received from their parents. Mm. And so that's why, as a parent, the parent is a first teacher to their own children. It is not the preschool teacher. It is not the primary school teacher, but the first teacher to the children is the parent, and the first school is the home. This is where they're supposed to, first of all, learn. That's why they say charity begins at home. But I'll also tell you to say, discipline also begins right at home. So if we are not clear in what we are trying to teach our children right while they are still young, it will be very difficult for them to distinguish which one is godly, which ones are godly principles and which influences from the world. Let's look at one biblical example or character who was rightly trained and brought up. Let's talk about Moses. You know, coming from Hebrews chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the life of Moses, was born in an environment where there was persecution at the time when he was born. And so the mother decided to put Moses in a basket. She tried to protect Moses, but you know, as Moses was growing older, he was making noise by crying on a daily basis. And so they started fearing for their lives and for the life of the child. So they decided to put Moses in the basket. We know the story very well. The princess came to bath at the river Nile. And so she saw the basket and asked her, what is in that particular basket? And when they opened, they found the baby Moses was busy crying and shedding tears. But the mother was busy praying for the baby Moses that God would be able to protect Moses. And so when she saw Moses, she was very sympathetic and decided to adopt Moses. And from there, because the princess was not breastfeeding, so she asked the people who were around, who can help to nurse my child? And then when Moses becomes of age, I will get Moses, I will get my child and live with him in the palace. And Miriam, the elder sister to Moses, happened to be among the people who were around the princess. And you see, she suggested that she should go and bring one of the Hebrew women who were nursing so that they can take care of the baby Moses until Moses became of age. And what happens, according to Exodus chapter 2, is that when Miriam was given that particular permission, she went and got the real mother to the baby, who is Jochebed. Mm-hmm. Jochebed is the mother of Moses, and she was called and summoned by the princess to say, take care of this particular child, and I will put you on the payroll. I will be paying you on a monthly basis by you taking care of this particular baby. And you see, Jochebed's prayer was answered. God was able to protect Moses from the death penalty that was there in Egypt at that particular time, because there was a decree to say all the male children who are 2 years and below, they should be killed, because the population of the Israelites at that particular time was beginning or had started to increase in number. And so what we see from this particular story is that when Moses became 12 years of age, he was given back to Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses lived in the palace until he graduated from his university. But now look at this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, where the Bible says, by faith, when Moses had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, he chose rather to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Remember Proverbs 22, verse 6, where the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, that when that child grows up, he will not depart from the principles that you as a parent have inculcated in that particular child. Mm. So we see this as a reality in the life of Moses. Hebrews is telling us to say, when Moses became an adult, when he became of age, he refused to be called a child of Pharaoh's daughter, because he remembered the principles that were inculcated in him by his mother Jochebed while he was still young. You know, in the Hebrew culture, the first 12 years of a child were so precious, and they were dedicated to the parents in order for them to inculcate the values, what they believed in, the kind of a God they believed in to their children. So that when the child becomes 12 years of age, that's when that particular child would be let loose to go into the community and begin school and things like that. Mm. That's why it was very difficult to convert someone who is a Jew at that particular time. Another example I can give you is the example of Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that when Jesus became 12 years of age, that's when Jesus was allowed to go into the society. He accompanied the parents to go to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. So what we see is that The first 12 years of a Hebrew boy or Hebrew child were for the parents to instill biblical principles so that as they go out into the society when they become adults, they'll still be able to remember the principles they received from their parents. And it was going to be easy for them to differentiate or to clearly see which ones are the principles of God and which ones are the influences of the world.
Yeah.
In our African setup, we are told to say it takes the whole village to raise up a child.
Yeah.
And so an African child is everybody's child. An African mother is everyone's mother. Mm. So if we as parents, we do not take it upon ourselves to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord, then the world will take up our responsibility. Mm. And when our children become pagans, we should blame no one except ourselves as parents. Just listen to what Ellen White says in Child Guidance, page 17. She says, the work of parents precedes that of the teacher. They have a homeschool, their first grade. And so the role that parents play surpasses the role that the teacher at school is going to play, because children, most of their time, they spend their time with their parents at home. So let us take it upon ourselves as a number one priority and responsibility as parents to make sure that we instill biblical principles and truths in the life of the children, so that when they grow up, they will not go astray by the pleasures and the influences of the world.
Sure. Beautiful. And it's such a high calling that we have as parents in order to instill these truths in our children. And when you think about how far left things can go if we're not careful, if we're not intentional about instilling these values, it's quite serious. Now, it's easy to think that if we, you know, follow your advice, if we have our family worship, if we instill these values, if we follow these examples of all these children that we see in the Bible, that everything is going to be smooth sailing and our children will always make good choices and life will be simple. But obviously there must be some challenges that can be faced when trying to raise children with a biblical worldview. What are some of those challenges and how can we overcome them?
Some of the challenges that we can face, as we raise our children, of course, there are quite a lot. You know, we are currently living in a digital world. We are living in a digital world, and our world has been classified as a global village. What is happening in America right now, I will be able to know, me who is living in Zambia, I'll be able to know right there and then because of IT or information technology. And so we are living in a world where children are exposed to social media and internet mm-hmm. at a young age. Okay? The mistake that most parents make is to expose our children to things that they will be addicted to, and it may negatively impact their lives as they grow up as children. In most cases, children are exposed to gadgets, okay, internet, like phones, at a young age. Someone is just 2 years, they already know how to maneuver around and play around with gadgets like smartphones and the like. So it is from this particular setup that as children will begin to grow, they'll be addicted to that particular kind of a lifestyle. And for us parents, it will become a challenge for us to make children abstain from the things that they became addicted to while they were still young. You'll find that a child goes to school. Immediately the child knocks off from school, the first thing they have to do is to be on social media and internet. Mm. We have children who spend a lot of hours on their phones, which is not healthy. It is not healthy for our children to spend much of their time on social media. What time do they study? What time do they do their homework? What time do they do their assignments? What time do they study the Word of God? So you find to say that much of their time, they spend it on the internet, interacting with people on social media, you know, watching videos, entertainment, and other things that can make them not to progress positively in their lives as they grow. And so while children are still young, let us not expose them to the extent that they will become addicted, and then it becomes a challenge for us now to begin to, you know, to help them abstain from it. It is better to prevent something from happening, unlike we allow them to be addicted, and then we begin to find ways on how we can be able to bring them back into the family.
Yeah.
Yes. So social media has a way of taking much of our time. You will not realize how much you have been on social media, because 1 hour may seem as if you've just been there for 5 minutes. And so it consumes most of our times. Most of us, the reason why we are not successful is because we spend much of our time doing nothing except being on social media. And even as we go on social media, even the pages that our children are following are not pages that are very educative. Most of young people, they just go on social media for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
And so this is a current challenge that parents are facing. So social media has made children, has been a role model to most of the children, because when we see a lot of people who are, you know, calling themselves as celebrities, these are the kind of people children are following. But let us as parents become role models to the children that we have in our homes. Let us be role models to them. Let us teach them how they are supposed to face life as it is, and not basically a life that is a makeup on social media. People pretend on social media. The life that people portray on social media may not really be real. So let us bring them to reality. Let us bring them to reality as young as they are, so that when they grow old, they'll still be able to appreciate the principles that we are going to inculcate and imbue in them.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, what role does the church play, would you say, in reinforcing a child's biblical foundation?
What role does the church play? The church plays an important role in raising children, because church, you will find a lot of lessons aligned specifically for young people. At church, you will find clubs like Adventurer and also Pathfindering. These are clubs that have been put up by the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church world over, which will help the young their spiritual.
Hello, Pastor, are you still there? Hello, Pastor? All right, it looks like we're having a little bit of trouble with our connection there. Pastor, can you hear me? Let's see if we can try and get the pastor back so that we can come to the conclusion of this conversation. We're talking about raising children with a biblical worldview, and we're just having some trouble there with our connection for some reason. But we've had a wonderful time so far. Let's see if we can reestablish that call and conclude it nicely. If you have anything that you'd like to add to the conversation, please do that on +27734703520. And at this time, the pastor was just speaking to us about the role of the church in reinforcing biblical values in the children. So our conversation has really been around what parents' responsibility is. I love when the pastor said that the first teacher is the parents, not the preschool teacher, not a babysitter, not the helper, but the parents are the first teacher of the child. And then he goes on to say that the home is the first school. I thought that was very important, because I think that sometimes we do abdicate, not necessarily intentionally, not consciously, but we do abdicate our responsibility and we hand it on over to an institution, sometimes maybe even the church. And we think that, you know, he was just talking about things like the adventurers and the pathfinders and all of those. And then we think that because my kid is in the Pathfinder Club, then they're good. They're done. I don't need to do anything. But those are just supposed to be supplementary, in my opinion. Those are supposed to be supplementary. The main core of their beliefs and their values should be instilled in the home, right? It looks like we are not going to be able to connect with the pastor anymore. I'm not sure what happened there, but we did get quite a bulk of what he wanted to share this morning. So I do hope that you were blessed by that conversation. Let's end it there for today. Like I said, we're open to hearing from you all. Please make sure you send us your thoughts, your opinions, your experiences that you might have had in this subject. +27 7347 035 20.
You are tuned into Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.